Day is my friend. Right. It's time to press the button.
We're ready then.
No, we can
I was born ready.
Welcome to Virtual Pizza, the podcast where we devour the digital world one slice at a time.
Oh, sorry, wrong podcast.
Deliver a pizza!
Hey, did I come on the wrong show?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Right, here we go, for reals.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, hello, good evening, and welcome to episode 443 of the Overseas Connection podcast, and that would be for October the 14th, 2017. The Overseas Connection is a podcast by friends, for friends, about friends, sometimes about games, sometimes about wine and whiskey, but mostly about having laughs and fun. I'm Robin Tate. I'm in Ballymena in Northern Ireland as the things fall everywhere.
Sorry, I'm having a really bad storm here and it just like thundered and scared the shit out of me.
Scared the shit out of me too. Okay. Hang in there, Kim. I'm Robin Tate. I'm in Ballymena, Northern Ireland. I am your host this evening. Greg DeLacy is off chasing balls of some description. It may be golf balls, bowling balls, or hurry balls. We just don't really know. He's just got addicted by balls of late. And tonight, I have a great crew tonight. You have, of course, heard Kim, gamer girl. Hello, Kim. You're in the middle of a storm.
I am. I'm in the middle of a storm. So if I suddenly disappear, it might not be my internet. It might be something else entirely. So
okay. And we know that Kim has had some issues. So I'm sorry, live viewers. We are broadcasting live every week at 11 o'clock right now, 3 p.m. on the West Coast, 6 p.m. on the East Coast on twitch.tv over OC podcast on Mixer. com/overseas podcast and youtube.com/overseas connection podcast. So every week you can tune in live if you're listening to this after the fact. And we know Kim has no video tonight because it could be the storm, Kim.
It could be the
50-year storm. You could be having your own little tsunami up in there in the middle of nowhere near the sea.
Yeah, I could be. For some reason, my webcam's not working. So sorry, folks.
Yeah, because the last time I was on, you had fan mail. You had people saying how gorgeous you looked, and we're disappointed.
Right?
Okay, so we have Kim. We know that. So, and we probably have a thunderstorm and thunder. We have Jameson Whiskey tonight.
Oh.
Hello, Jameson. How are you tonight?
Nice.
He's smooth. He may be making some further conversation later on in the show. I have, of course, Mark Wright, Mark Annex, spinning the decks tonight. Mark, thank you for joining us. I know you've had a horrible headache today, So good lad for being here, champion.
No worries. Hello, everyone. Yes, Mark Annex on everything, Xbox Live, PSN, Steams, Twitters, whatever you want. I'm on it.
He's on it. So we're always glad to have Mark here. And we have a special guest tonight, someone who I've asked many, many times to get on the show. But his schedule, being a karaoke singer at the local old age pensioners home, hasn't really allowed that to happen. He goes for karaoke all the time. They try to kick him out, but he insists in continuing to sing until the police come and remove him. It goes on every week, but you know, this is Filthy, the man, the legend of the famous virtual pizza podcast that we all loved. And Filthy is here. He's here with a room. And if you remember the beautiful brown old timber behind Kim, he has a contemporary look on the camera. Look on the video and see. He has updated Kim's timber and he has it as an honorable mention to Kim. Phil, welcome to the show. What about ya?
What up?
bitches.
Hi, guys. Fantastic to be here. Long time listener. Long time being invited, but I've always turned you down, Robin. I felt sorry for you tonight. And in honour of Kim Storm, we may be moving on to Talisker Storm later this evening.
Oh. What does that mean?
Talisker Storm. Talisker Whiskey.
Oh, so there's a lot of potential for this show to be going very bad again. I promised myself, I promised the boss that I would never do that again. That was a very light promise. So, and I've said to myself tonight that this very, very old bottle of Jameson's had to get opened. I forgot about it, and I was way up above the cupboard, and it was covered completely in dust, and the seal wasn't even cracked, and it must be 30 years old. Oh, so anyway, we'll have maybe one little glass.
Yes, a wee dram.
So, look, Phil, for people that don't know you, would you sort of talk about you're in the Birmingham area. Tell us a wee bit about yourself and, yeah, podcast history and gaming and how you got involved with this merry band of pirates.
Sure, I was kidnapped. No, I was podcasting for about 4 years. Listened to yourselves and Veteran Gamers and the old 035s. Right from the beginning, so really enjoyed it and thought I'd do it myself. Did a bit of sound recording when I was at university, so thought, you know, this is what I want to do. Fortunately, I haven't had much time. As far as gaming is concerned, right back from the old Spectrum days, Spectrum 48K, the 128 plus 3, you know, 386 with Prince of Persia and the big 5 1/4 floppy disks, the real floppy disks. All the way through PCs, and my first console was PS1, and then moved on to Xbox, where I've stayed ever since.
Excellent. Good stuff. And now, again, I'm sorry to ask you about Virtual Pizza again, because a lot of us really loved it. Now,
thank you.
This is live tonight, which is a bit different, so you're maybe in the deep end here with this sort of thing. So it'll be interesting to see what you think at the end of it all.
And my version of editing is just throw the figging thing up. I don't change nothing. If there's any mistakes, it goes in.
Well, one of the reasons why I stopped or was taking so much time was a half hour show would probably take about 6 hours to produce.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I have to record another dirty 30 minutes very soon because it's coming towards the end of its life. And that was usually about 30 minutes, and that was maybe an hour and a half's worth of recording. And I really did go to town on it with everybody recording their own audio and then stitching it together and going through and taking out every pause and and taking out all the noise levels. And I wanted it to be perfect, and I'll do that again, but there is an awful lot of effort goes into a single show. And I think our attitude now, Mark, is it's for fun.
Yeah.
The audio quality sometimes can be a bit off, but it's about time and fun. So it's generally topped and tailed.
Yeah.
And if Mark has time, and like last week, I think the recording failed on you.
I've got a little digital recorder what I've got connected to the mixer, and the file was corrupted for some reason, so I had to use the YouTube rip, but it sounded okay, I think.
Mark's a pro.
Yes.
I'm proud of him.
Do you know what?
Digital recorder.
It's cool. Amazing.
Yeah.
The last year and a half or so, Mark. 2 years some of the very first to me disappearing to steal McDonald's Wi-Fi in a car park. there was a few very, very ropey times back then. Speaking of ropey times, I mean, this week and the last couple of weeks, I've had some major issues. I really have very poor internet, as you know where I am. Since there's been so many different updates with the dashboard of late, I've had some really odd network problems with the Xbox. Now, if you know about NAT settings, if you play lots of multiplayer gaming when you go into the settings and you look into your network stuff, it should say open NAT. So it should say open NAT, and that frees you for playing with everybody. And you can have a moderate NAT, or you can have a, what's the one?
Strict
NAT. Yeah. I was one step further than that. I was getting this thing called double NAT. I had never, ever heard of double NAT before. Now, part of this might be that I wasn't maybe doing that much multiplayer gaming after I changed to a Nighthawk R7000, a really good router. It's what I try to do with the crap internet that I have, as I try to squeeze every ounce of goodness out of it. Now, it's brilliant, really improved the Wi-Fi reception around the house. Good, really good router. But it was still connected to the modem, which was the old BT modem. And when I looked into this double NAT thing, it was saying that my new Nighthawk was sending out one set of signals, and the old BT one was sending out another set of signals. So it was like a double firewall sort of thing.
So we were both restricting.
Yeah. Yeah. And you couldn't switch off the NAT on the BT one. So I went out and bought the matching modem only for the Nighthawk. And then you can go in and switch off the NAT settings for it. And it has completely solved the problem overnight. So yeah, if you're having multiplayer issues, that'll sort it quick.
Double NATs down to multiple routers. So it's when you've got multiple routers on a network.
It was a pain in the butt for a few days. And I just then was with Forza coming again, I wanted that to happen, and I was getting really frustrated that I couldn't get it sorted. And what is this about all these dashboard updates, Mark? I'm getting
ready. Yeah, it was quite a few, yeah. Well, they're getting ready for the full rollout of the fall update to the general populace, aren't they? So they're just trying to make the final touches, so we're getting all the sort of like incremental updates ready for it going live to everybody, so they just get one update, really. I'm still waiting for the game gifting. That still hasn't come yet.
Yep.
The problem about all these updates, nothing to you, Mark, but it's like 398 meg or 500 meg. That's 2 hours for me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So you sit down and you go, right, I'm going to play something. You must have an update. Or stay offline. And nothing will work when you stay offline. And that's a pain in the butt. I did hear yesterday from Dan, he was saying that you can now, and I haven't looked, but you can now start to download the high definition patches on your standard Xbox. I thought it was only be for S, but he's checked it out. It's for OG Xbox ones. So you can download the patches now, and so you can be ready for your Xbox One X coming. So I must look into that and get that done.
So if you don't have an Xbox One X, you don't download these patches then, or does it automatically download them anyway?
Don't know.
You have to choose to download them at the moment.
Right, okay.
So if you download them to your external drive, so that you plug in your drive later when your Xbox One X turns up.
You don't have to update everything then, yeah.
No. So they're all ready to go.
Have you looked, Phil? I mean, are they in a separate part of the shop or something like that? Or
it's per game, so it's on the hub.
Right, okay.
From what I've seen, it's on the hub for each individual game.
Oh. Okay, well, anybody that has pure internet or good internet, there's, 120-odd games have been optimized, so if you want to have those done, get it done now. You've got, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, something like that?
Yep.
Before Xbox One X is launched. Okay, final little thing that I would just like to recommend this week, and the stuff that I've been up to is another book, it's called Blood, Sweat, and Pixels. We might have talked about this before. I've listened to it. I've finished it now, and I thought it was awesome. It's about how you make a video game. It's split up into about 8 chapters, and each chapter takes a game and the developer, and it goes into what was going on in their lives while they were developing a game, and their thought processes and the struggles that we went through. And it goes from really, really big stuff. Halo Wars, Destiny, the first one, Stardew Valley, Pillars of Eternity and Star Wars 1313 is I think the last chapter. Very, very interesting. You know, the Stardew Valley guy was cool, you know, working away by himself, never thinking it was going to be good enough and how long that development was. So if you want a good listen or a good read, good listen on Audible, we should get sponsorship, really must. Blood, Sweat and Pixels is a really, really good listen. All right. So, our guest, Phil, what have you been up to over the last week or so? What have you been doing with yourself? Not just games you've been playing, but anything weird or wonderful happen? Maybe we'll touch a wee bit about EGX as well.
Oh, yeah. I think we should talk about EGX. Fantastic weekend. No, this last week, mainly work, to be honest. Having a bit of a documentary binge. So, Louis Theroux has come out with a new three-part series. So that started last Sunday about Huntington. It's called Dark something. Yeah, Huntington, West Virginia, where there are more. It's all about the cocaine addiction problem they've got there. So one in four people in Huntington in the town is addicted, and 50% of those have had overdoses. So it was a really hard, tough hitting. Yeah. There's also one in four, and there's only 60,000 people in the town. So it was really hard hitting. There's a follow-up, a supplementary documentary called Heroin, with the E in brackets at the end, about the women in Huntington who are helping the people around the town. So well worth picking up on Netflix, and it's on for the people in the UK. It's on iPlayer if you've missed it. So yeah, and we've been just binging on various documentaries, murder mysteries and all sorts for the last week, to be honest. So yeah, haven't managed to catch up on the new Star Trek yet, which unfortunately I've watched the first couple of episodes. Mark has.
Yeah, same here. I didn't realize it was out on Monday, and I didn't realize I watched the latest one on Monday. I thought it came out at the weekends, and I've been checking every day this week for the latest episode. So, Mark, you've watched all four?
Yeah, I actually binge-watched all four, because I knew they'd come out, but I thought they were doing like what they did with House of Cards and stuff. I thought you could watch a whole series in one go, but they're releasing it weekly, aren't they? But yeah,
it's been shown on CBS as well, which is a pay service in America.
Yeah.
So in America, you have to pay for, I think it's CBS Online, I think, Kim. Mm-hmm. And you have to pay. So there's a lot of people not happy. And that's why they're releasing it one at a time.
Yeah, but yeah, I think there'll be
a few people hiding their IP and watching in the UK on Netflix.
Yeah, I've enjoyed the start of it. It's, I think they've done it really well. It's not your usual standard... Oh, I'm now the captain and I'm taking over this ship, whatever. It's a really good intro, really. It's not what you expect.
It's not. It's shot very differently.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not quite sure whether it's low budget or lower budget. It doesn't look as slick or as big production as generation or not, or Star Trek Next Generation. It doesn't look as kind of slick. I know that sounds weird. It feels a bit more grown up, a bit more adult, a bit more grungy.
It's more grittier and darker.
Yeah,
That's
what they're trying to do. They're trying to reflect on the current times.
Yeah,
they're trying to make it more grittier. The audience for Next Generation, for example, that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, no,
that's 20 years ago, and things have changed. So TV has changed.
We've grown up.
You know, things have
it
to
reminds me a bit of the style of if you've ever watched Expanse.
No, I've not seen that yet.
Yeah. So it's a pretty grungy, rough sort of cop drama sort of thing in set in space, and it reminds me a bit of the filming side of it. But the characters are interesting and good, and I don't know who to like and who really not to like at the moment. And yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to more of that.
And the way it's in the timeline as well, it's before the original Star Trek, but it's after the
Enterprise
series with Scott Bakula.
It's set 10 years before the original series. Yeah. So sorry, I'm a bit of a
No, chat away, please.
It's set 10 years before the original Star Trek. There's been a lot of people protesting because it looks nothing like the original series, which, you know, that was filmed in the 60s. But people have been throwing their toys out of the pram. Yeah. I think it's fantastic. I'm really enjoying it so far.
Not to give anything away, but I like the new technology on the ship, what we're developing for traveling wise. To sort of like try and get one up on the Klingons, because this is set in the time when Klingons weren't the friendliest of people towards the human race and everyone. So
it's a Klingon war.
Yeah, so it's really cool. And I like they've changed the sort of like style of the Klingons a bit, haven't they, makeup wise and that. So I don't know if it's in the J.J. Abrams timeline, universe or what, but yeah, I like the look of the Klingons.
It's what they call the Prime Universe.
Right, okay. Yeah.
So it's set with the right Kirk and Spock and everything, and Spock is actually Michael's half or adopted brother.
Yeah.
When they talk about her parents.
I knew I'd recognise that guy's name.
Sarek, yeah. And it's kind of odd as well. Michael, she is called Michael.
Yeah.
So, it's okay. Yeah. Fair enough. You know, she can be called Michael if she wants to be called Michael, but it is a bit disconcerting.
It is. They do make reference to it, don't they, in the third
episode. Yeah. I've never met a Michael before. I know the girl with the ginger hair who has a bit of a not a learning difficulty, or she's Asperger's, something like that. There, you know?
Tilly.
Yeah, roommate. Yeah, Tilly. Yeah, yeah. She's I don't know. That's feels a bit shoehorned at the moment. But you know, fair enough. Why not? You know, there's a very good follow up. Show to it as well, like your Walking Dead style, which is After Trek, Talking Trek, or I think it's called.
And the chap
that does it is also, I've been talking a few weeks ago about James Bonding, and he does a podcast called James Bonding, and he's used to be like the right hand man on the Nerdist podcast as well, so he's in that Nerdist group with your man that does The Walking Dead or the After Dead show, Chris Hardwick. So if you like that, you're a Bond fan as well, listen to James Bonding podcast where they break down quite funnily each of the movies, and they would say that they are not James Bond experts. They are lovers of James Bond, so they don't know everything, but then they discuss it, and yeah, it's good. And wee things to look out for. But yeah, Star Trek's cool. I'm enjoying it. Kim, you've managed to arrive back out of a drop there. Your stormy weather. Yeah.
And my webcam works. So, hey.
How does it? Oh, get it on, man.
Oh, let's get it on. Get it on.
Get it on.
Yay! No longer disappointed. No longer disappointed. We've got Kim.
Skype was messing with me, so. It was all Skype's fault.
All is well in the world.
Yep.
Yeah. And Kim, you were dressed up to high heaven, I'm sure, this week with flowers in your hair. You had a very, very cute little nephew, and you were at a big, massive wedding at a fancy house in a fancy place. Tell us all about it. $100 meal. Ooh.
It was $100 a person. We went to the rehearsal dinner, and yeah, that's what they said. It was $100 a person. I about died.
Wow.
So, yeah, never been to anything quite that fancy before.
For $100, what did you get? Was it like two peas and a carrot?
It was a spinach salad.
What did you do with the carrot, Robin?
It's never going to leave that one. I've adopted that carrot. Yeah.
So
for your main then was
there was a little potato, cheesy potato casserole little triangle thing, and filet mignon, believe it or not.
Potato!
And
of course,
three little driblets of, I would assume, a sauce. Plus, there was an open bar, so it was all good.
That was worth your $100.
Right there, yeah. I still haven't found a wine I like yet, but there was lots of beer, so it was all good. So,
okay, so what's the problem with the wine then? Do you have a preference? Okay, let's go red or white first.
I don't really have a preference because it's not something I generally drink. So I thought, well, while I was at a winery, I thought, well, maybe I could find one I actually liked. Apparently, it's not meant to be yet because of the ones I tried. I still don't like them. So she loved them, but
a Sauvignon Blanc? Do you know any of the names? Like you have a nice Sauvignon Blanc?
There was a red and there was a white, and that's about all I could tell you. The red was very dry.
And, Greg DeLacy, Greg, will you please send Kim some nice wine? Okay, that's not a request, that's an order. Please send Kim some nice white and some nice red. I know you can. You can do this. Do it. And let's take Kim down a slippery slope.
I've never really liked red wine, though. I like white and sparkling white, but I've never sort of like got on with red wine. And it makes you feel awful the next day.
No. I was taught at an early age, always go for the reds because there's always plenty of reds. Everyone drinks the white.
Yes.
I've stuck by it ever since.
Okay. All right. So, look, this is a gaming podcast, funny enough. And we do play video games. And sometimes we play really up-to-date stuff and sometimes we play not so up-to-date stuff. But this week, there's quite a lot of new stuff in here as well. And Kim, where is your list? I can't see it. Oh!
Really long list.
It's that big list.
Long list. Yeah, it is, right?
So you've played, as I have, the Double D Cups. You've been playing Cuphead again. And how have you got on with Cuphead this week?
Made progress? Not bad. See, I was making progress, and then I realized that playing it on simple didn't get you anywhere, so I've had to start over on regular, and I'm back at it. So, yeah, you know, they give you two options, you know, simple, regular, and I'm thinking, okay, that's good, I'll go simple. Yeah. Not a good idea.
I think when you go simple, yes, you do get an extra life, but your shot power is down as well. It's degraded down. So it's like a bad balancing act. You're probably better off going for the standard mode because simple isn't easy either. It's deceiving. Simple is not easy. I played some split screen some multiplayer with Charlie, and he's coming 12, and he didn't get on with it at all. And maybe it's because it is quite punishing. But I mean, we played for about 20 minutes, half an hour together, and I think he's done. I think that's it. It is, you learn by dying.
Exactly.
It is beautiful. It is gorgeous to look at. The sound is great, but it is tough. The nice thing about it is if you analyze the movement, the guys do come in the same, almost the same patterns all the time. So you can learn as you go. And there is a great feeling of success when you clear a level or get past another little bit. Now, some of this flying stuff is just, just crazy. And it's frustrating. One thing I would say, I would love it when you die that it came back a little faster. When you die so much, and I know it's not much; it's probably only five to ten seconds at most. But I want to get back to it. I want to get back to it. Where super Meat Boy-ish. If it had been like that would have been brilliant for people like myself. But amazingly, this week when we get to victory achieved, we have two people that have completed it already.
Nice.
Any other mention or talk about it? You're going to keep at it?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to keep at it. You know, it's going to take me a while, I'm not going to lie. But now that I found out on Simple, they cut out part of the fight. And I didn't believe this until I started the first one over on regular. And, yeah, they cut out, like, the middle of the fight. So I actually had to go back and you know, do all that. Plus, Well, like, the first fight, when you have the potato and the carrot. Actually, between the potato and the carrot. It's funny. There's a
I'm just waiting for something now, Kim.
There's a head of garlic in between the two. And before, when I fought it on Simple, it wasn't there. So it actually makes the fights longer. And you don't collect
everything better with garlic.
And I found you don't collect the soul if it's on Simple. So you're basically doing it all for nothing because you don't even get to collect the soul once you've done with the fight. So
it's a ruse.
It is. So, you know, if you want to learn how to do it, you know, go Simple first, but then you're going to have to go back and play it on regular in order to get anything out of it. So
how would you describe the little guys that fall from the screen? They look like daisies or sunflowers. I mean,
yep.
What are those? What are they? What type of flower is that? Are marigolds?
I think they're a daisy. Either way, they're evil. So they are evil. So them little fuckers have killed me more than anything else, I think, in this game. So
have you got the grips with the punching or the punching the pink stuff?
Yeah, well, sort of. I had to actually go back to the tutorial and practice on that a little bit. But yeah, I'm getting there. So I think I just broke the one of the parry achievements just there the other day. So I'm getting it slowly but surely, more slowly than surely. But yeah, I'm getting there. So
I've went in and edited my control scheme with my Elite controller so that shoot is no longer on the A button. It's now trigger.
Yep.
And the parry then is on an A button rather than switching between up from, it was from A to Y.
Yep.
So now I can keep shooting and quickly thumb my A, which I found a bit easier, which is a bottom tip. But
I did that too, actually. Because with the way they had it originally set up, I can see where my fingers would cramp up trying to hit the shoot button and the jump button and all that at the same time. So I did the same thing on my Elite and remapped the controls so it's easier. So
cool.
Yeah.
All right, Mark.
Yeah.
We've been doing some Forza together.
Yeah, Forza 7. Yeah, we had the play date last Sunday. We had quite a few people join us last week. It was good. Long-time friend of a show and used to contribute by sending sound clips past Hypnose 3000. He joined us with his girlfriend Jessica, and it was Henwood, it was Smurftastic, and yourself, Bongo. We all had a good bit of racing fun on Forza 7.
Okay, stop the presses.
Yes.
So, the fear.
A what?
What was it? Her, what was she?
Oh, fear in her voice.
Fear in her voice. Yeah, okay.
That's her game tag.
Now, I was going off on a completely different slant. I didn't think that was Parsnip's girlfriend. I thought that was Parsnip's daughter.
Right.
Oops. What? That makes a bit more sense now.
Yeah.
I was getting a bit worried that he was from Utah. Okay. All right. Anyway, if his daughter is like that, he has a wonderful daughter. And if his girlfriend is like that, she's wonderful. She's polite, witty, funny. And we had a great night's crack playing Forza together. That was good fun. How are you getting on, Mark, with Forza?
I'm really enjoying it. I've started dabbling with the paint side of it now, and it lets you import all your previous paints and vinyls from Forza 5 and 6, right down to even Forza 2, and also Horizons 3. You can sort of like import all your previous stuff you've created, so that's good. So I've got a few paint jobs up on the marketplace. I've had a go tuning a couple of cars using the Forza Tune app on the phone. And it does make a difference. It makes it more stable for me. But we always have done them Forza Tune apps. So I use
have they updated? The, have they Have they updated the no, for that?
No, I'm using the Forza Tune 6 one from Forza 6, but it is basically the same. So there's no real difference. They probably will release a Forza 7 one eventually.
I am really enjoying it. I mean, I love my Forza, and that's what I've really played for nearly all of the week, apart from, you know, if you're doing it percentage-wise, it's 10% Cuphead and 80% Forza. I find it relaxing to come in and play Forza. You can be serious about it, but you can also come in and just get lost and tick the races off. But I am having some pretty bad issues with it. Daytona won't load for me. So when I go through a series of races and the final, it always seems to be the final race and it ends up in Daytona, it just sits and spins, load, and then when I go to a different menu, it just crashes. And I've done that a couple of times with a couple of different car types, and that's happened to me. I don't know if I've got a corrupt download. And the thought of deleting it and starting to download the whole thing again is scary. I was playing last night on a road Atlanta, and the race started, and the map disappeared. And I was chasing after the cars floating, racing through the sky. And I know Road Atlanta so well, so I didn't even, I think I finished 12th out of 24 people, just following the cars and knowing the track, but it gone. And then I was playing some split screen with the boys. I think this is more a bug than a major problem, but the sound is all squiffy when you play split screen. Right. So you're either hearing just one person's car or neither car and just background noise, which is kind of odd. And then other wee things, I think there are some bug things that they need to change. Like when you're on the main screen, you can't see how much money you actually have. You have to go into...
No, you don't actually. No, they normally do, don't they? Yeah.
Yeah, buy a crate. And the other part of it is I've got to the point now, I was playing quite a lot of multiplayer last night. I think I knocked up the 100-mile or 100 laps on the multiplayer achievement pop yesterday evening. Is that I did get a lot with the VIP thing. I got a lot of cash. And I went and bought three or four of those big luxury crates at 300,000 credits a time. And I have no money left. So it was, you know, you're getting these cars, and some of them, when you get to a different level, you get them either free or you get them discounted. And I was getting to the point where I couldn't get my free car. It's sitting in the holding pen waiting for me to grab my money together, or even just going in to buy crappy little cars to experiment with.
Yeah.
At 20 or 30,000 credits, I've run out of money, which is a pain because you have to buy those bloody cards to multiply your credits or the mod cards.
Yeah.
And if you don't have those, and I don't really want to buy the chests to do that, but there's not really a lot of choice.
But you can buy just mod crates, and they only cost 20 grand.
Yeah.
You don't have to buy the full Monty one. You can just buy crates which just contain mods and save your cash until you've got loads and loads of it. And also, are you going on Forza Hub every week and getting your free credits? Because depending on
I'm high maintenance, Mark. I spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's there. I mean, if there's a couple of 100,000, it's spent. You know, I can't hold on to it. I gotta buy new and shiny cars. I've gotta buy new and shiny tunes. Those things aside, hopefully, because there is an update coming for that VIP pack. It hasn't came yet, so a big patch is due, I'm sure, soon. So I'm hoping that my bug problems will disappear.
Well, you keep saying you've got these bugs, and you posted a picture in the WhatsApp where you're just sat in midair with four wheels and there's no car at all, which is weird because I've not had any of that at all on my end.
I think my end... I think my end is corrupt. I think I've got a corrupt download or something, you know.
You've got to do it at the end.
I have to say, I tried the demo and I did the truck race.
Yeah.
And I wasn't that impressed.
Oh, I loved the truck race.
Well, I don't know. I don't know why it was. I mean, I've gone from playing Forza Horizon 3 to play the demo, and for some reason it just didn't click. And I don't know whether it was, again, bugs or display. It didn't look fantastic, as good as I was expecting.
I would give you that. I think when you're in behind view of the truck, I don't think the truck exhausts and back. I think the textures on them look a bit old school.
Yeah, I always play so you can't see the car at all.
Yeah, I think, but I think something. Well, I don't know. I don't think it's a big massive leap, but I think some of the lighting effects and track stuff and that's going on the side and the water effects on the road and the skybox stuff that's going on is fabulous. I think they've massively improved cockpit view or steering wheel view. And before, where that was something I would have always played, it used to be bonnet cam, and then when I got into the bunch of the Henwood guys and all those guys racing, they all raced with chase cam for more, and you mentioned it last week, Mark, for more spatial awareness.
Yeah.
So we didn't crash into each other just as much. But this time I feel quite comfortable in cockpit view, not doing it all the time, but there's many a race where I'll jump into it just to see what it's like. And the level of detail in the cockpits is cool.
Definitely the trucks. The trucks are superb in cockpit view.
Okay. As a counterpoint to that, on PlayStation, which is it launched and very, very soon is GT Sport, and you've played the demo for GT Sport, Mark.
Yeah, I downloaded very the demo and played the thing. Yeah, it's good. It looks absolutely gorgeous. I think it looks better than Forza 7. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Forza 7's holding anything back to show off the Xbox One, to say, oh, look how much better it is, to try sell more Xbox Ones. That's the cynical side of me, but yeah, it looks absolutely gorgeous as Gran Turismo Sport. It's the typical Gran Turismo, though. The menus, I don't like the menus at all. There's options everywhere, and it's just overly complicated. So it's not the easiest user interface to sort of like maneuver. The sound's your typical Japanese racing game. I don't like the bumps. Like in the previous Gran Turismo's, they don't sound natural. But the engine sounds are good. The engine sounds have improved from the last one. The driving's good. It felt a little lighter to me than Forza 7. And it took a bit of getting used to. The steering wasn't as, it was more keener than the other one. But whether that's because I haven't tweaked it and I was using a controller. But I know Henwood was saying it's, for him, and he's like a massive game racer, to him that's the best racing game he's ever played, so that's massive acclaim coming from Henwood. But it was good, but not enough for me to want to buy it, not when I've just bought Forza 7. So I'll probably pick it up on a sale like I did with the other GTs. But yeah, it's really good. It looks good. There's a lot of options, a lot of depth to it.
Okay, and then Forza as well. Well, it'll be interesting to see how they both go pound for pound in a week or two's time. One final thing with Forza, there's lots more stuff has been unlocked this week. So a lot more multiplayer modes. I know the auction houses to unlock,
yeah,
and there's a whole pile of stuff there, and the rivals and all that. And we'll start to get, I'm going to start doing the hot lap challenges again, stuff like that. Yeah. But you've had a car, a racing tint on.
Yeah,
you've
got a bit
drive club bikes up here as well.
Yeah. Well, because I'd fired up a PS4 for a change. I noticed the bikes on Drive Club was still mega, mega cheap. It was £3 for the full bike expansion pack. And I never picked it up in the past. And I was asking Henwood and guys what they thought of it. And they said the bikes are really good. So I thought, for £3, you can't really go wrong. So I took a punt on that. And I really, really like it. It's really good. In fact, I prefer the bikes to the cars. I haven't played Drive Club for such a long time because it annoyed me because it seemed to be so much rubber band AI, and it had quite a steep difficulty curve, especially for me it did anyway, and there was no driving line, and I've always used a driving line, so I found it hard that way.
Mm-hmm.
But the bikes, I don't know what it is, it just feels really nice. The handle well.
Yeah. I fired it up not that long ago to play a bit of bikes as well, and it's good, it was good fun. You should really switch your driving line off.
On Forza, yeah.
You will see so much more track.
Yeah,
in every game. I know it is a bit more difficult, but it's amazing because with that racing line on, you follow the line, you're watching the line. When the line is off, you start to look for breaking points and familiar sights, and then you see so much more of the game rather than following that little triangular line. So I would try that. It's well worth doing. It'll make you better.
Yeah,
drive club bikes. I played a lot of drive club, and the bikes are really good. They've really expanded on the game. I think I played it to the point. I think there was a big competition going on with the Boss Wave guys.
Yeah,
and Tuscan.
I know Tuscan got a lot of the fast times on the leaderboard.
Yeah, I think it got to the point where I just had to go in and beat Tuscan at his own game. And when I did that, I was satisfied and moved on.
I really like the bikes, the handling of them, the look of them, the look fantastic. The game itself visually is superb. So yeah, really impressed with the bikes. It's brought my love back for Drive Club. So
well, I'm glad you, I got you see a Ride 2 going cheap, pick it up as well.
Yeah, you're saying that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never got on with motorbike racing games. I've always sort of like, as soon as I come to a corner, that's it, I'm off. Like on the MotoGP games and when I've played the demo, I've never felt like I got round the corner, but with this one, it's, I don't know where it is, it's just really, really good.
Okay. And then we've got Ghost Recon Wildlands and Far Cry Primal.
Ghost Recon Wildlands is free for this weekend for Xbox users, PlayStation users, and PC. It's free on all formats. And I've never played this before. And I've always wanted to. We've nearly bought it a few times, so I've downloaded it to give it a try. And it's really cool. It's just more Ghost Recon, really. But there's a lot of... It's cutscene heavy at the start. So setting up the story of it with the cartels and everything. But it's really cool. I like it.
I haven't played it. Kim's
played quite a bit of it.
Yeah, I know Mike Chin, he loved it as well, so it'd be one I'll pick up next year. No, it'll be cheap for me.
Yeah.
And Far Cry Primal, I know, Phil, you played that, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he finished it. 100%.
So I've
only done a little bit on that. That was today, actually. The last time I played it, I got to the bit where you had to tame this super-duper saber-tooth bloodfang, and I kept failing it, and I give up, and then I thought, I'll just give it another go, and I managed to do it today. So I've got that as a companion pet now. So that's quite cool.
I stuck with him, actually.
Yeah.
Throughout the rest of the game, I stuck with him as my companion. I'm really surprised, actually, because I've heard a lot of bad things about it, but it was a fantastic game.
I'm really enjoying it.
It really was. And it's, you know, the last one I played was Far Cry 3. And again, that sucked me in and, you know, 100%
me too.
And I was a bit wary about this. I thought, you know, I'm trying to get through them for my Yolg. And it just sucked me in. It's a really good game, actually.
Cool. All right. Brilliant. Okay. Phil, let's get stuck in. You mentioned your log, so there are some log stuff here. And we'll start with the big purple dildo. I'm reminded by a pink purple dildo of gaming shows and expos, because one of the midlife gamer parties, there was someone at an auction or a prize won that a real life 3-foot or 4-foot long purple dildo you could whack people with, which was fun. Anyway, we didn't talk about it, so let's just take a wee quick segue here and talk about your experience with EGX, because although we've chatted a lot, we haven't really had any time to spend together. And we had a good night's fun on that Friday night, having our burritos. And it was great. Your life installed the party. You were well in there. You got stuck in with everybody. So, how was it for you that weekend?
It was fantastic. I haven't been for a couple of years, so it was good to catch up with everyone. But Friday night was absolutely superb. And I do think that from an OC podcast and VG Hub point of view, we ought to make it a regular thing. The Friday nights, beers and games and whatever. And as long as it's at Birmingham, happy to help out.
Definitely.
It's, you know, 20 minutes on the train from me. So it's superb. It's so good to meet everyone. It's so good to meet people I met before and people I hadn't met before. Fantastic. And yeah, really good night.
Yeah, well, definitely. I think we sort of talked a wee bit about before it, and I was saying, look, I know we sort of went out for a meal, and we had a bit of, you know, on previous years, and I think I want to expand on that for next year again. It's lovely to see people there. Like, I mean, Darren, who had never met anybody before, it was his first expo and just arrived, and Brian, Rain God Zippo, and all the guys that came along. Yeah. We had a fantastic night. It was good fun. It was sort of almost impromptu, and the wee bit of gaming on the on the switches and the table was brilliant. But I think we could with a wee bit of thought and with the right location. And do you know that little place is still there? It was a little bit warm, but yeah. The service was good. The food was all right, and the beers weren't too dear, and it was good fun.
And the margaritas.
Oh, flipping heck. Oh. You know, I woke up the next day pretty much as bright as a daisy, and it was amazing because I was probably 4 margaritas past sensible.
You're probably still pissed.
So, yeah, lots of beers. I lost count. I don't know. I must have had 8 or 10 margaritas and a rake of beers, and the beers were coming up in the buckets, so you never were a drink was always in your hand. I always remember, because I will always remember the waitress's name, Charlie.
Yeah.
My son's name, so I'll always be stuck in my head. But she came in, and she was coming in to join in with the gaming, and she was going to the expo the next day and stuff like that there. So yeah, that was good. Good fun.
It was. And the next day as well. I was just there for the Saturday. It's really good to, it is a community event, I have to say. And anyone who hasn't been to EGX who can get to it, really, it's, you know, you don't, even if you don't get to play any games, it's just a really good chance to meet members of the community, brings the community together, and you get to meet, you know, stars such as, not Robin, obviously, but.
Stars.
But yeah, most of the time was spent, you know, joking and talking about what we're going to queue for, and then deciding not to queue for it because it was, you know, 2 hours long or 4 hours long. But you know, we had a good time around the rest area, around all the indie areas. You really enjoyed that little what was the name of that game he played that you sat on for about half an hour.
Oh,
Iridium. The Iridium.
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah. Oh, hey, hold on. I have it here. I couldn't remember the name. I have it here.
Oh, you have the flyer.
I was going through the flyer and I came across it tonight. It was called Hyper Sentinel.
Yeah.
And
you hogged that
station. I did. I was enjoying it so much. I'm sorry. So Hyper Sentinel, and one of his, I'll pull this up if you can see that. There's a cassette, an old style cassette back to sort of Commodore 64 days. And the cassette is a USB, and it has the game on it with like a special edition thing. Hyper Sentinel. Yeah. I must actually look into him and have a chat with him about it. I think it's got PC and Mac versions of the game only, but yeah, that was good fun. Old Iridium clone back in the day. Yeah, that was good fun. Goodness, sorry about that. Yeah, I was a hog. I was sort of saying, what did I sit down for half an hour and play? And if that's the only game I sat down and played for half an hour, because everything was 5 minutes here and there. So, yeah, that was good. Yeah, it was good. Good to see you there, and we'll see you again next year, all being well. All right, Mark. Oh, you know, back to games. So, Saints Row 4. Did you play Saints Row 3, Bill?
I did.
I loved Saints Row 3. That was the best one for me.
Yeah, I played and completed Saints Row 4 and 3, and I think 3 was better than 4.
Yeah.
I don't think 4 was bad, but no. I think...
It was a clone. It's a clone of 3, to be honest. It felt like... And I think it's a full to game, but it felt like DLC.
And I think it actually threw some jibes in at itself, some in-jokes about itself with that in the actual game. I love the humour in it. I love Keith. Is it Keith Richards?
Keith David.
Oh, Keith David, yeah. David. He plays himself, doesn't he, in that? Yeah, so it's really good.
Yeah.
I think the car stuff like was kind of pointless because you flew everywhere.
Yeah, I never drove anywhere.
Where you did a bit more driving until your powers got really high in 3. But what did you think? Would you like? Yeah, I think you liked the humor.
It was good fun. You know, it was on my Yolg list, so it was clearing it down. I'd completed Gat Out of Hell a few months ago, which wasn't great. Dear. Yeah. No. And after completing Far Cry Primal, I thought, you know, I'll get Saints Row out of the way. I want to clear as many as I can down before Extra Life. So I've got new games. I haven't spent a penny this year on games.
Sorry about that.
It's all your fault. No, I haven't spent a penny at all. I've just been, you know, I've done about 20 now. And I'm now starting to get to the ones where I put them on the list. There's a reason why I hadn't completed them. Is because, yeah, I don't really want to play them.
And you know what? That's okay. I mean, how fantastic. You played 20 games that were going to be chucked to the side, never touched again. And I think that's, for this year for me, that has been one of the most rewarding parts of being involved in this whole year living dangerously thing, that I've seen some of the great completions we're in. Now, we'll do a study at the end of it. I want to actually go through everyone's completions and work out the sort of the top 10 games that have been completed by people.
Kim starts looking sheepishly around.
Yeah.
You've done a couple though, Kim. You've done some.
Yeah.
You've done like a couple of chapters. Yeah. A couple of chapters.
So
it doesn't matter.
So I've been playing a bit of Forza Horizon 3, knocking a bit off that. That's on my Yolg list as well. Dipped into Fortnite Battle Royale.
I did a bit of this.
Which is very interesting. I mean, I haven't played PUBG. I'm waiting for it to come out on the Xbox.
Yeah.
But this is quite interesting. It's free. It's, from what I can see, it is PUBG, but more of a cartoony type format. I played a couple of games, came 86th and 81st. I think I need some practice. But no, it looks good fun so far.
Yeah, I definitely think it needs to have a group of buddies. Yeah, and like PUBG as well. So, well, you can do it single player, but I think the fun, like a lot of games, is with your mates. And as Fortnite is free, Mark, that's something we should be doing as getting people together to play.
Yeah,
we'll definitely. Have
to do it ourselves as well. So much choice. So many choice. I can't wait for PUBG. But these guys are capitalizing well on this. It's getting quite a bit of traction.
It is. So it's good fun. It's I can see the attraction, and I'm going to give it a bit more time. Probably spend quite a bit of time on for extra when we come to do Extra Life.
Yeah.
PUBG. It sounds like they're saying holiday 2017, so that could be December time, maybe. Or
it could. You know. Yeah. It could be New Year's Eve.
Yeah, well, Thanksgiving, Christmas, you never know.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice on Boxing Day for it just to land?
Yeah.
You know, that would be nice, you know, when a lot of people are off for a few days. That would be a cool Christmassy game to play. Yeah. And that might work in really well for them. All right. There's something here that Kim is probably going to pick up her ears about, because it has the word gems in it. And I don't know what this is, but I have a feeling that this is a match 3 or match 4 game.
It is.
And you're playing it because it has the word Star Trek in it. Would that be about right, Phil?
That is exactly right. Yeah, it's a match 3 game set in the Star Trek universe. You choose the original series or the next generation. It's getting to the point, though, where, as far as I can see, I may have to spend money on it to progress any further. To buy coins to upgrade to my characters. So I'm going to spend a bit more time on it, but it's looking like it's forcing me to spend money, which I don't tend to do, to be honest. Don't do very often on free-to-play games.
Yeah, I suppose there comes a point when if you've played something for 10, 20, 30 hours and it's been completely free, I'll throw them a bone. You'll throw them 2 or 3 quid or fiver as an appreciation of it as well. Is this one of those things? So.
Yeah, I'm only a couple of hours in, so it's very early on in pushing for it. And the other one I've been playing is Warhammer Drop Assault, which is free to play.
You're a big Warhammer fan. I remember you on the Xbox 360, was it?
Yeah.
The 360?
Space Marine, yeah.
Yeah, Space Marine.
Fantastic game. Absolutely superb game. And I'm just hoping they bring it on backwards compatibility, but because I really enjoyed that game. It was really good.
I think there's maybe more chance of that than in Aliens Colonial Marines. I'm quite annoyed about that, but I would love Aliens Colonial Marines to come back compatible because I would love to play that game again.
I like that game as well.
Thank you, Phil. We are some of the only people out there. And with that in mind, you should listen, if you haven't already listened, to the IGN, what do they call it, podcast Unlocked? No, it's not called Unlocked. What's it called? Help me, Mark.
Which one? There's Podcast Unlocked. There's, God, I've not listened to it for that long.
Podcast.
I've had my brain freeze up now.
IGN Unfiltered.
Oh, not heard of that one. The PlayStation one's Beyond. And then
Randy Pitchford, part two. I've just found it.
Yeah. So there's two parts to that. And it's your chap that does the IGN Xbox one. And it's generally hour and a half sessions with big names. And there's almost 3 hours of Randy Pitchford going into his whole history, where he all started. And that's a really, really good listen. So, so that's called IGN Unfiltered. And those two episodes with Randy Pitchford, really, really good. Very, very interesting to hear his thoughts on Aliens, Colonial Marines. And it's not what a lot of us all assumed, if he's to be believed, that they cashed in and took money to spend on Borderlands. Anyway, Warhammer Drop a Cell, it's an iPhone game.
Yeah, it's a iPhone game, iPad, Android probably. Again, free to play. It's set in the Warhammer world, Warhammer 40K world. So Space Marines and Chaos and everything else. It's pretty good, actually. I've spent quite a few hours on it. I haven't dropped anything on it yet, any money on it yet, but I think that may be coming soon. So it's a sort of strategy, real-time strategy game, building your base sort of thing. It's quite a bit actually like Clash of Clans. Okay. So you're building your base.
Oh, it's got the time limit, the waiting for stuff to build.
Yes. Yeah.
You can spend gems on it too.
Yeah. So it's spending gems, collecting different ammunition to upgrade things, and then you go and attack outposts to get more. So it's a sci-fi version of Clash of Clans. Yeah. And,
Dear, that's dangerous. Yeah, I disconnected myself and deleted Clash of Clans after playing it solidly for what it must be, Kim, 4 years, maybe?
Probably,
about that.
Yeah.
And about 3 or 4 months ago, I deleted it because I was just checking it 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times a day. Just why?
Yeah,
and it was fun for a good time, but no, I had to. It was an addiction, and I had to break it.
Yeah,
cool. Okay, so we've played lots of really good stuff. Mark, I think we should do some news.
Some news. Yeah, hang on a minute.
And while you're looking for that
screen,
Kim, would you also look up, because you're chatting away about my back end? Would you have a look and see all our shatters in there and give them a shout out? Because they're all being very active. Took my rough back end. You're helping them. Who's in there?
There was Womble was in there. RCGC was in there. Our very own Amaryllis was in there. Faye Gwent is in there. Night Raven is there. Martin is there. And, of course, us. So.
Oh, cool. Night Raven. My good Forza Horizon 3 buddy. I remember as one night he was on and we played the big course, is it Mammoth called? And it's all the way around. And we'd done one race with multiplayer with other guys, and it was one lap. And then we went and did it again, but I think it was 5 laps. It took about 2 hours. But we had great crack. It was good fun. That was good night. Yeah. Night Raven, that was good fun.
I was asking him if he's got Forza 7, but he hasn't. He's got Project Cars 2, but not Forza 7, so that's a shame. But,
he said he didn't know Forza 7 was coming out. What? Where were you? Because he's constantly playing. I see him constantly playing Project Cars 2. So.
Right, here we go.
Yeah.
News time.
here is the fucking news.
Although there's not a lot happening, there is quite a lot happening. So, but there's quite a lot of stuff that we pulled out of here. And this morning we were chatting about IGN and Humble Bundle. And Humble Bundle
Bumblebee.
Is a generally a PC game thing where there's groups of games offered at really, really cheap prices. You offer a minimum amount or more for that, and you get this pack of 4, 5, 6, 7, sometimes more games, sometimes really, really, really good stuff, but usually lots of indies or some older AAA games at really cheap prices. And part of the idea was that with the Humble Bundle thing, they gave a good chunk of that money to charity, or a chunk of that money to charity.
And you can even choose how much. You've got a slider to sort of like denote how much of that money you're paying for it goes to the charity as well.
Yep.
So some news that just came out was that IGN has bought Humble Bundle. And the internet has went bananas, and all the liberal numpties have got on their high horse and said that, oh, this is ridiculous, and it's ridiculous, and what about the charity, and we don't feel good about this. And I don't know how to feel about it. I don't. I mean, this morning I was a bit cranky. I was tired, woke up cranky, and I was cranky in my WhatsApp chat. And I was saying, well, you know, what the hell? You know, what do these people think that Humble Bundle was? I mean, was it like two guys in anoraks in a back office of an Oxfam shop, you know, running Humble Bundle? Humble Bundle is a big organization, and whatever deal has been done, these guys have thought that they've said here in this press release that they've chosen IGN, so they've been looking to sell it on or move it on. They've chosen IGN because they really understand our vision, share our passion for games, and believe in our mission to promote awesome digital content while helping charity. IGN are a business, so they've done this to make money as well. I don't know if it'll be a good thing or a bad thing. I hope charities still hope to benefit. There are lots of these bundle sites out there now, but if you don't want to buy from Humble Bundle owned by IGN, I'm sure you'll find it somewhere else.
They do a monthly subscription, which I actually do, where you get like a not a new, but you get a sort of like pretty decent AAA game, and then a few days later, a load more games come out. Like in November, it's Elder Scrolls Online.
This is with Humble Bundle?
Yeah.
Or IGN?
No, well, Humble Bundle. And October's is Rise of a Tomb Raider. So you get some decent games. Mm. It's only £12 a month. Well, $12 a month. It's about £11. But yeah, they have said that it shouldn't affect it. They're going to keep it as its own separate business. And there should be no sort of like difference to it. But they will bring the IGN's expertise into it. And it might help them, like you said in our WhatsApp chat, might help them attract bigger titles to it. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I spent quite a lot with Humble Bundle.
I think it is a big enough thing within the PC world, but I think IGN have the power to make that a bigger thing. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. As long as, as I say, the charities keep on making money, well, good. But yeah, don't knock it just because IGN are a big corporation. I don't understand that.
You gotta give him a chance, haven't
you? Yeah.
Exactly.
Frig them. Fuck the hippies. all right. Dragon Age creative director leaves BioWare. Now, this one sort of raises lots of questions. So this guy, Mike Laidlaw, has left the developer after more than 14 years. He was a veteran writer. .co.uk, and a designer, a creative director known for his work on Mass Effect and Dragon Age. And he's left today. They haven't given a reason for it, but he sounds that he's quite sad. He worked on Jade Empire, Mass Effect, and all things Dragon Age, and he wants to move on. So he's gone. But I was just sort of looking up there, and BioWare, for being one of the biggest, strongest companies with writing talent and design talent, just looking back over the last couple of years, David Gator, he was the lead writer for Dragon Age, was there for 17 years. He left in 2016. Chris Schlerf He was the Mass Effect writer, left in 2013.
Okay.
And Casey Hudson, of course, that would be a more familiar name. He had been with them for a long, long time, and he was the director of Mass Effect, and he went in 2015 as well. So they have lost an awful lot of talent. Some people are saying that this is the EA thing that has changed the company. I don't know. I love the BioWare games, as do you, Kim, with your Dragon Age. Any thoughts about BioWare?
Well, I'm a little, you know, I'm a little worried because, like I said, this guy was the writer, and they've lost, you know, they've lost another writer since before that. So it kind of makes you a little worried about where the next game is going to go. But that being said, you know that there's a lot of talented people out there that are probably going to step up and, you know, fill in. So we just kind of have to wait and see.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah, because BioWare is one of those classic solid companies that you'd always put together with quality. I know Mass Effect hasn't really done them any favors over the last little while, so I hope that's not the beginning of the end or almost at the end, because there doesn't seem to be like any of those solid guys are left. But then again, 14, 15, 16 years with a company is a long time to be doing the same thing. So okay, so moving on. Lawbreakers, Cliff Blinsky's baby of Gears of War fame. Is this a story, Mark, or is this just
They made such a big deal of it, didn't they, when it was coming out and the beta and everything. And when you contrast it to PUBG getting 10, not 10 million, that was your fault, that, Robin, altering our notes, getting 1 million consecutive players. In fact, they've beat Dota 2 now, haven't they? I think they've had 1.3 million consecutive players at once. Well, yeah, Lawbreakers, they've sadly had their lowest low ever. They had a consecutive number of 10 players on the 12th of October. Just 10 people in the whole world playing this game.
Does any of you guys play it?
No. It's too fast for me. It's one of those Twitch shooters what I'm too old for now.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like Titanfall on speed, isn't it?
Well, it's back to Quake days, you know, and they mentioned Quake quite a lot, and some of the guys said it's the best thing since Quake, you know. Yep. But Quake was unbelievably fast, and I loved Quake. I mean, it's one of my all-time favorite games. But maybe it's timing, maybe it was the cockiness, and maybe it was the platform. You know, PC is out there and it's massive. Would this have been better on a console? Or maybe it's just a sign of the times. There's just too many games.
So much choice. So
much choice.
Ten's very low. I mean, when I played Alien Colonial Marines multiplayer, and there was a good 30 to 40 people on there, and that was a couple of years after it came out.
And I'm sure if we went on right now, if it was backwards compatible, or even if you fired it up on the Xbox 360, if the servers are still running, I'm sure you'd find 20 or 30 people on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently with Lawbreakers, it had a free weekend, like Ghost Recon Wildlands are doing this weekend. And during that free weekend, they only had a peak of 1,000 concurrent players during that time. And the peak, their all-time high peak, is only 3,000 concurrent players. So
you would be pretty pissed off if that was your
especially
baby.
Putting all that time and effort into developing it. And by the sounds of it, it is a really good shooter. It's a really good, competitive, fast Twitch shooter. But it's just, like you say, the market is just not there for it. It's too much choice.
Yeah, again, that was something that one of the chap I was talking about there a while ago, and getting old, I don't remember, when he was talking about Aliens Colonial Marines Deliver, Randy Pritchard was talking about their game release when it landed against the mighty multiplayer MMO this year, and their game was described as being like it, but they know it's a really, really good game. Please tell me the game I'm thinking of, please.
Battleborn
is a really good game, seemingly. I played it a little bit, but it was just swamped by the other. And it has similarities, but again, they were kind of brokenhearted over that too. Yeah.
£3 in Asda. Yeah. The DIS version.
And it's got single player on BattleBond, though, hasn't it? And apparently the single player's not too bad.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So it might be worth picking up for £3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, sort of rolling on this similar idea, and I'll chop this one here. So there's a bit of an interview with Phil Spencer, and he's saying that he doesn't like having Xbox or the Xbox brand paying for console-exclusive content. Now, but this could be seen as sort of sour grapes, okay? So, because this is about, he's saying that, well, I'll read it here. He doesn't love the idea or the practice of us paying so that other platforms can't play or use a certain gun in game or have certain DLC on certain types of levels. And I know people will say that about Xbox history and DLC exclusivity with Call of Duty and stuff like that. And he understands that fingers are pointing right back at Xbox, but he can only be who he is. And he says it's not the best PR answer, but he doesn't like it. And I totally get it. I totally understand, because it is a horrible practice. And I can understand. And now, you're saying this was came up by Cuphead, and Cuphead is exclusive, but he's saying that Cuphead wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't have been developed this way if Microsoft hadn't threw the money behind it. And maybe Sony would have done that as well, but they didn't take up that option. But and then that sort of got me into thinking about this whole exclusivity thing and about Sony and the Microsoft thing and saying, oh, the Xbox One doesn't have that many exclusives, and should they bring it out on PC as well? But I think people are missing the point with that. But in my stupid opinion, that Microsoft own PC, they get a cut of all of that stuff that goes on there. You know, they are your Windows platform, the majority of it's there, and they don't care if it's on Xbox One or on PC. It doesn't matter. It all works. So they're all getting their little cut, and I don't think it's a thing. I would love to see, and us, when we mentioned this before, playing Destiny on an Xbox One against a PS4 player on a PC, I would love to see that. People are clever enough to choose what menu system they like and what controller they like to use. We shouldn't herd them into one corner. So yes, let them have Uncharted and Gears and let them separate. But those multi-platform games, we should be able to play cross-platform. There is no reason why not. It's been proved over the last wee while. It's a flick of a switch. It's a flick of a tick box in a database to make it happen on for things. So people have done it accidentally on purpose. And I would love to see that. I would love to be able to play more that way. It would bring the community together. It would start a whole new sort of race about the better players and who, you know, the stats of the PS4 guys are better Destiny than Xbox players. You know, that would be a whole new thing. And I can't see what harm it does. These excuses that Sony's and Microsoft, whoever, which one of them was saying, well, if somebody comes on and curses on our platform, that's bad. We have no control over that. Really? That's a bit grim.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, my nephew's in Ireland. He can't understand why he's got a PS4. He can't understand why he can't play Minecraft with me. When, you know, his friends can play with, you know, if they've got switches, they can play with people on Xbox, on PC. He just can't understand why PlayStation, you know, won't allow him to do it. And he's absolutely gutted. He really is.
Yeah. It's hard to explain. You're playing the same game. It looks pretty much the same. It has the same menus. It plays the same way. You're playing for the same sort of things. And you just can't cross over. I don't know. I think we're mature enough. As gaming is mature enough now for that to stop happening. If everything was unique and everything was completely exclusive, you can understand it, but it's not. We're playing the same games and we're not playing together. Actually, well, that was one of the things that kind of killed some communities. I know Mojo Interactive, what were they, 360 Gamercast before? That whole split between Xbox and PS4 kind of killed their community. It killed that, pretty much killed that podcast. Because they just didn't know where they were, and there was they were, that was one of the biggest If you wanted to go and play with people, that was one of the biggest online communities that were out there, and that sort of disappeared. So
it didn't happen to us, though, did it? Because we had that divide. Like, I went PS4 initially, and it was all pro PS4. Shiny went PS4. Nicole did, but I thought that made our podcast even more diverse because we had half of a team sort of like raving on about the Xbox. We had half a team raving on about PS4. So it gave that cross diversity. So yeah, it's a shame it made their podcast collapse.
And if you call us hardcore gamers, if you want, but a good lot of us people have multiple consoles. Yeah. Not everybody, but a lot of us. I mean, quite a lot of us. I will have, you know, the PS4 and the Xbox, and that's the perfect setup. And if you can have a Switch, great stuff. And if you have a PC, even better.
You've got a lot to answer for you, Robin. I want the Switch now. I've played your Switch.
Yeah. Same here. I'm blaming you.
So yeah, sort yourselves out. We want to have cross play across all platforms. If you can do it, definitely between consoles, and do it as much as you can between with PC. No reason why not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, final little thing in the news there. We did talk about Gran Turismo. Gran Turismo, there's a nice video up there. There is a link to it that we have, Mark. Shuhei Yoshida and some other executives reflect on the series 20 years on. It's almost 20 years since the very first Gran Turismo came out on, is it the PlayStation 2? Or was it on 1?
No, the first one came out on PlayStation 1 because I played it on PlayStation 1.
Yeah, so I played on 1. Yeah. I think I played on the PlayStation 2 the most, I think. But yeah, that's amazing. 20 years. So I think the new game is going to come out a few months before that. So that's worth looking at. And they talk about how it's changed over the years and how their development challenges and how it's sometimes taken far, far too long and trying to keep the players happy. And it'll be great to have another really good racer out there as well. So check that out. I'm sure you Shuhei Yoshida and Gran Turismo will find it on wherever you want to search. Yeah. All right. I think we'll do a bit of quizzing. Unless there's anything more you want to add.
Nope.
Quizzing.
It's time for the quiz.
Yeah, you know what? Oh, too bad.
Trivia questions in from Jason Johnson. Thank you very much. Love it.
Okay, Jason Johnson, as Fraser just said, has sent me some wonderful questions. It's absolutely wonderful. Great. Jason Johnson has the best questions, really the best questions. He sends us wonderful questions. They're the best. And we're going to do them now. Now, Phil, on our show notes, you'll see your name there. And yep. Mark will play a little ditty of his choice. And you must put your answer in when that ends. Okay, and there's only two questions, and we'll see how you get on. And you can play along in the chat, please, please, please. Okay, so topical enough. Here we go. Question number one. Here we go. What year was the game Fortnite initially announced?
Ooh.
Jason's wonderful manner, listen carefully. A, 2015. B, 2011, C, 2013, Jason, or D, 2010. So 15, 2011, 2013, or 2010. When was it first initially announced? And an extra bonus point if you can tell me who announced it. Yeah. Oh. So, okay. Are we clear about the answers? 15, 11, 13, and 10. And who announced it? No cheating, please. Play the jingle, Mark. So I need your answers after three. Three.
I cut out the Greg bit. It was too long.
Okay, so Kim says 2015. And Mark says 2015.
Yeah.
And Phil says 2013, and it was announced by Greg. Okay. The actual correct answer is it was announced by Cliff Blinsky, of all people, in 2011.
Wow.
On the 2011 wow. Spike huh. Video Game Awards.
Yeah, I knew it was quite a while ago.
Yeah,
I didn't think it was that long ago.
I didn't either.
Huh. I thought we only waited 2 years for it. Wow.
They needed to get that bugger out. They really did. Talk about being sick of doing right? something for long, 6 years.
Longest fortnight ever, that one, eh?
Too right. God, yeah,
they changed the format quite a few times, didn't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my wife, sorry, sidetracked. She ran when we first met, she went to set up some coffee shops for people with learning difficulties. So adults with Down syndrome and stuff like that there. And I had to marry her when they ordered to fit out the first cafe. And that was 20 years ago. So things you have to do for a sale. but I always remember there's one of the girls there, and I was asking her, when was she going on holidays? And she was going on holidays in two fortnights, which I thought was an absolutely adorable answer. that's stuck with me. Okay. So no, sorry. None of you are correct and none of you got a bonus. Good chance to ask about Greg. Okay. Next one. Which of these events was not in the classic NES game Track and Field? Which of these events was not in the NES game Track and Field? Now, you all remember, you button punchers, you all remember Track and Field.
Yeah, but not in this version.
Was it A, the long jump? Was it B, the javelin throw? Get that turkey. Was it C, the hammer throw? Or was it D, skeet shooting? Long jump, javelin throw, hammer throw, or skeet shooting? Which one of those was not in Track and Field? So I need your answers after three. Three. Kim says D, which is skeet shooting. Mark says D, which is skeet shooting. And Phil says C. Skeet shooting was actually in Track and Field 2. So, Kim and Mark, you're absolutely correct. Skeet shooting, or clay, we would call it clay pigeon shooting, was not in the first Track and Field. Very, very good. Another point for Kim. Yeah. You're up there. And Mark, I think you're still in the lead, but Kim is pacing you nicely. And Phil, a nice round figure for you. Till the next time.
I like round figures.
That's what we hear. That's what she said. Phil, let's get you talking. Let's you talk about some new releases.
Okay. So on October 17th, we've got a GT Sport for the PS4. October 17th, same day, we've got Elex, PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Etrian Odyssey 5 Beyond the Myth on the 3DS, and Rogue Trooper Redux, PS4, Xbox One, PC, which I'm actually looking forward to. Mm-hmm. I saw EGX, and I think that's the old 2000 AD character.
Yeah, it looks like pretty cool, doesn't he?
Yeah, it does. It does look quite good. I think it's going to be quite a low price, so it should be good. And on October 17th, the game of the show for EGX, South Park, The Fractured Butthole. On PS4, Xbox One, and PC. WWE 2K18, even. PS4 and Xbox One. Fire Emblem Warriors, which, again, Fire Emblem Warriors, I think, is a Games Workshop title, on October 20th. And Siberia on the Switch on October 20th as well.
What is Siberia?
I've got that on PC. It was in a Humble Bundle. I think it's more of a story-driven adventure thing. It looks quite nice. I've not played it yet, though.
I'm reading quite a bit about the devs for Switch now, that their Nintendo are asking them for more gritty, more adult games for the Switch. I think Switch is going to be a real winner this Christmas time.
I was listening to the Gamesman, because Hardly Dan's got one now, ain't he? And they were saying there's quite a few sort of like big titles coming to it. So,
that's cool. Elex, I know our Lord and Master Greg DeLacy is looking forward to Elex.
That's which the guys like who did, what was it, Kim? Two Worlds, is it?
Arisen. Yeah, and Two Worlds.
Two Worlds, yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of Japanese-y RPG. And Rogue Trooper, yes, look at that. South Park Fractured But Whole is coming. Friggin' hell.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It's going to be more South Park. I played it awkwardly with my son at EGX, where he was helping me do a lap dance, which was very, very odd.
It's not one that would go down well in my household, should we say. It was very funny.
Yeah.
And I laughed a lot. It's a bit too close to the bone, I think, for my house.
I need to reconnect my PS3 up because I still haven't finished the first game. I'm halfway through it on PS3.
It is very good. It's well worth playing. Good, good, good.
I think I'd just gone to Canada in the PS3 version.
Blame Canada.
Blame Canada,
Okay, Kim, take us through what you get for nothing.
Alrighty, our games of gold for October are, for the Xbox One, we have Gone Home Console Edition, available October 1st through the 31st, The Turing Test, that's going to be available the 16th through November 15th. Those are for the Xbox One. On the 360, and also backwards compatible, we have Rayman 3 HD, that is available from the 1st to the 15th, so you better get it now. And then we'll have Medal of Honor Airborne, available the 16th through the 31st. For our PS Plus, we have Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain for the PS4, Amnesia Collection for the PS4, Rigs, Mechanized Combat League, which apparently has nothing to do with semis, never mind, PS Plus Bonus, and PSVR required. That's you, PS Plus Bonus, and Playlink, Monster Jam Battlegrounds, that'd be a weird one, for the PS3, Hustle Kings for the PS3, You for the PS Vita and PlayStation 4, and Skyfunk Anniversary, also for the Vita and the PS4.
No, that's wrong. Come on, Kim. It's Skyforce. Can you not read that? It doesn't say Skyforce.
Robin's been playing again.
I saw Yui, so I knew that one was wrong, but that one
it's a Vita wrong. Game. You know, come on. It could be Skyfunk.
Sorry, when I'm not on the show, generally I still go in and update the victories achieved and stuff like that. And I go in and sometimes subtly edit the notes. So Mark was talking about concurrent players in PUBG went from 1 million to 10 million.
Yeah, and we read it out as well because I'm thinking that's not right. And Greg's saying, no, yes, 10 million.
And last week, unfortunately, I didn't win because I listened to them back and if you get the mice and giggle to myself, last week you were talking about the photograph of the chap that was used in the Batman game, and his name was Vladimir Karloff or something like that there, and I had changed it to Boris Karloff. And I was hoping that Greg would have read it, but no, he missed that. So damn, yeah, I have fun even when I'm not on the show. I'm frigging with the guys. Okay, Mark, play dates. What are we doing tomorrow? Night.
I'll start off with last week. As I mentioned earlier, last week we played Forza 7. There was myself, you, Robin, Parsip, Henwood, Smurftastic, and Fear in Her Voice. So that was a good laugh. And then tomorrow, because it's Alpha Weekend, we're going to be doing some Sea of Thieves. So those who've got Alpha access to Sea of Thieves.
Alpha.
Our illustrious guest, Phil Fee, is going to be doing that with... And you're going to pop on out, Robin, with this?
Yeesh.
And I should be on.
Seven o'clock's a bollocks for me. So
is it what time?
Because that's the problem about changing. Yeah, 8 o'clock is better. 8 o'clock and onwards is better for me because that's kid going to bed time.
Yeah,
around here and is kind of nutty. So sort of from 8 o'clock onwards. So if I'm not there at 7, 8 o'clock's better. And that does have an effect that I know Greg, he gets his spuds because that's right in his lunchtime, but. Do you know what? He has, you know, a stick of celery at the moment and a protein drink. So it never takes him that long to get lunch. Yeah. And then he'll have a margarita. So it's not so bad.
That'll be Sunday at 8 p.m. UK time, which is 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. East Coast, and 12 noon for the West Coasters. And then next week, we're going to be doing Destiny 2 with Nicole and myself. If we get enough people, we might do some Crucible. Or if it's just a few of us, just do some, like, missions or strikes. So, yeah, should be good.
Yeah. Destiny 2, fabulous. Womble, it's wonderful. Womble, we love Destiny 2.
Yeah. Yeah, no, after last week's rant on the Nightfall, I've not been on it all week. I've not even gone on to get the dessert stuff. I might go on it tomorrow. I've got a bit of a sour taste in my mouth. Yeah,
you're at that point.
Yeah. I'll probably end up playing... Well, I think when the DLC comes, I'll definitely be back into it. Because they always raise the level cap and the light level. So there's always that incentive to go back to it. So.
Yeah, that grind's put me off on the first one, to be honest. Yeah. I spent a lot of time in Destiny the first one. You're just doing this in the first one, you're just doing the same stuff over and over again. I played Destiny 2 at EGX on a PS4, and I wasn't feeling it, to be honest.
Yeah.
It'll probably be when it comes out on sale, I'll probably get it.
Yeah. Gameplay-wise, it's superb. The gunplay, the actual game itself is really, really good, and it is a slight improvement on the first one. But the repetitiveness, it's soon caught up on me. I too, put loads and loads of hours in the first game. And one of the reasons I wanted this one so much is because everyone was saying, oh, there's not that grind what you used to do. It's got more generous drops, but I don't think it has. Well, I've not come across it anyway. So, but I've not done the Nightfalls and Rage yet because I've been struggling with them. So, yeah, but getting on with the play dates, we have the Golf Club 2 challenges, Gary DeFelice sets up. So if you've got Golf Club 2 on Xbox One, join the VG Hub Society and then have a look in there for the challenges.
The VG Hub?
VG Hub.
VG Hub. Speaking of VG Hub, VG Hub, go to extralife.org and talk about VG Hub. I talk with my hands. I'm a salesperson. That's what I do. I'm expressive. So Extra Life is coming up very soon. Mark, Phil, Kim, what is the date for Extra Life this year?
4th of November.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
4th of November.
4th of November.
Pre-Xbox One X date. Blah. Anyway, it's coming up. The whole VG Hub team is there. We have extra members in it this year that are doing it. Phil is joining us. Kim is in here this year again. Antonio Phillips. Yep. The team is getting bigger. We have raised thousands, goodness, into five figures of thousands over the last 7-8 years. And please go to extralife.org, search for VG Hub, and if you can't drop a pound or two on the guys that are there, we're raising money for very ill kids to make their stay in hospital some more pleasant. And the hospitals are there, some of the most fantastic children's hospitals in the world, that kids that I know here from Northern Ireland have went to these hospitals for treatment. So this is the sickest kids that you could possibly think of in the world, that we're trying to make their lives a little bit better, and they mightn't be around for long, and we're trying to make that time as pleasant and as happy as possible. So it's a very worthy cause. So please, a lot of us will be streaming live. There'll be we haven't talked about it yet, like we did last year, some live podcast stuff going on throughout the 24 hours. But please go to the vghub.net, give some money to your favorite person, or spread it out between loads of people, or give it all to me. And if you can't give money during that 24 hours, coming up very, very shortly, drop into one of our streams, drop into our games if you see us on, because we are a worldwide podcast. There's people from all around the world listen to us in different time zones. And it is so lovely to hear a voice at 3 o'clock in the morning, or four, that horrible time between 3 and sort of 7, 8 o'clock in the morning is just awful. So please drop in and give us some support. Okay. Victory achieved. Victory achieved is our long running competition, started way, 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 way back by the one and only Parsnip Nose and Crew, was one of the founders of that way back, long time ago. And it's nice to see he's on the list tonight. And what it is when you finish a game to completion, you take a nice selfie of yourself with the credits in the background, with generally a rude part of your body included in the picture. I ask every week. and you tweet that off to at OC underscore podcast, you'll be retweeted on that. You'll be get a wonderful victory achieved trophy on your screen and everyone will see it. And it's class. And you'll go onto this list and you'll get entered into our once every 3 month draw to win money. You'll get a $20 or £15 gift card for your platform of choice. And Womble just won it a couple of weeks back, and yep. he now has his money.
He does, yeah. He got it today because some slacker kept forgetting all week. So.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah, sorry, Womble. He got his money today. He got it today, so.
Called at random. And then as part of that as well, this year I introduced the Year of Living Gamerously about finishing 30 games from your backlog. And that officially finishes on the 1st of December. Of this year, it will go on. Some people didn't start on the 1st of December, but the people that are that done that 12-month period, some of them have already hit 30. One guy, Dastardy Jabby, is almost at 50. He has set himself at 50 games. I think he's at 48 right now, maybe even 49. So, Dastardy Jabby, I am booking you now to come on to the roundup of Dirty 30 Minutes podcast to wrap it all up in early December. And PG Tips, Paul, you've already hit 30 as well, so I'm booking you to come on to that too. So just keep in mind, there'll be a wrap-up show for that as well. Kim, would you take us through the wonderful people that have finished games this week? I'm glad to see they got their fingers out of their arses because there was only four of them last week. There's a couple of highlighted in red that I want to make a thing of, so okay. Chat away about people that finished this week.
Alrighty, here's our Yolg list. We have Andy Banganwangan with Dead Space 2, Caliburn M with Zelda Wind Waker, Dastardly Jabby with Cuphead, congratulations, Terraform with Alien Rage, Filthy with Saints Row 4, Caliburn M again with Persona 4 Golden, Adams KDA86 with Cuphead, that's non-Yolg, CB Mingay with Oxenfree, Amorous 89 with My Brother Ate My Pudding.
What?
We'll get back to this.
Jeez.
But that's a game, right?
Yeah, we're coming back to it. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yep. Parsnip Nose 3000 with Slime Rancher. Parsnip Nose again with Farming Simulator 2017.
Ah, my goodness. Fantastic. Okay, so a few things to mention from this list. First of all, Kyle, I know Dastardly Jabby's name was read out first for Cuphead. But within the community, as far as we know, you were the first person to complete Cuphead. Well done.
Yep.
Good lad.
And he's also claimed it to be his game of the year so far. So it's high praise indeed. So yeah, he really liked it.
I want to also shout out CB Mingay. Sorry, I don't know how to pronounce that. It could be racist or it could be rude. I'm not quite sure. But look, we love your victory achieved, CB Mingay. CB Mingay.
Call him CB.
CB. CB. Breaker 19. oh, dear me. You finished Oxenfree. And that's your first ever victory achieved. You did it perfectly. You did it right. Great lad. Keep on doing it. Keep on sending them in. You are now entered into the draw to win our prize. Brilliant. Also, Amras, I would like to chastise him for playing My Brother Ate My Pudding, but I can't really because I played the other one. I played the first one. I must look back and see what
my sister ate my starter.
No,
that's completely different.
Oh, the mother hid my game or something.
Or my mother ate my underwear. So it was one of those ones there. Yeah. This is the same style. It is a phone game. It is wacky Japanese. It's stupid. I'm sure if you search for My Brother Ate My Pudding, it will automatically bring up the my mom took my game or hid my Game Boy or something like that there. It's stupid, silly little puzzle game. It made me giggle. But Amras, only you. Where do you find this shit from? And we always thought Stu Fowler was the king of weird and shit, but no, he is in kindergarten as far as weird and shit is concerned. Amras, you are the man. And
can
finally,
I just,
Sorry, Robin. Can I just butt in and say, I've always wanted to say this, but Kim has the dirtiest laugh.
Well, I don't know about that, but all right.
Yeah, she's right up. It's a close call between her and Nicole. It really is.
That's very true, yeah. But I think Kim just tops it.
It's just, no, Kim has, we're getting sexist here, but I don't care. She's just full of mischief. It's just mischievous. Yeah. And I still see the photograph of, she said once, and accidentally on the bed there was a set of handcuffs.
Okay.
All right. Finally, from the Victory Cheese list, I am so, so happy to see this name appearing on the Victory Cheese list. Parsnip Nose 3000. Dorian, you are completing game. Slime Rancher, okay. Farming Simulator, you completed to 100%. Okay. You big farmer. You played 400 hours of Farming Simulator. Dear me, Dorian. But look, that aside, wonderful to see you playing games again. Wonderful to see you on Victory Achieved. For all of you people that don't like me or don't get on well with me or my accent and or whatever it is, blame this man. This man wanted me to put myself forward to come on to the Overseas Connection way back many years ago, and I did wee bits and pieces before I came onto the show, but it was Dorian is responsible for me. Dorian is my father. Anyway,
could we put Martin out of his...
We have a nice jingle for you guys.
Put Martin out of his misery because he keeps asking for this.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved.
Okay, look, guys, we're going to wrap this up. Thank you very much for coming along. If you want to join in the chat, our live chat is always good fun. You can interact with us live on the show. So please be part of our conversation. We broadcast weekly on twitch.tv/OC podcast and lots of other places, including Mixer and YouTube, at 11 o'clock in UK, 3 p.m. on West Coast and 6 p.m. on the East Coast. Please leave us a review. We check them regularly. That's a very loose term. We've got lots of clubs, Xbox One and PS4. It doesn't really matter how important those are. There's a very, very active Discord server at discord.ocpod.com. Discord. It's a thing. Yeah, I don't want it in my life, but it's there, and I have to, can't avoid it. And I'm now tier two. Woo! I'm a lurker. I'm there. But yeah, Discord, a lot of chat goes on Discord. And we want to hear that other voice, which I need another scotch for. So play that voice.
You like us, we like you. See where I'm going with this? Yeah, follow us on Twitter @ OC_podcast.
Oh yeah.
Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us. podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Facebook again for me. Nicole, could you say passport for me? Please say passport. Anyway, that's a very weird reference. Yeah. Nobody will get that reference. Oh fuck. Oh shit, Mark. You can say nothing to you now. It's recorded in an memorandum that it's going to appear in a flipping sound clip.
Surprise, anyway,
thank you guys for coming on. I'm going to do a quick round the houses. Any shout outs that you have? We'll start off with our lovely guest, Phil. Anybody like to shout out or promote?
Yeah, thanks guys for having me on. It's been a long time coming. And no, I've been asked before, but... Turn it down quite a few times. Yeah. No, thank you very much. Shame I miss Greg and Nicole and Fraser, but you know, I got you guys. Yep. Never mind. unfortunately, I'm not at the moment not doing my show virtual pizza, I should say. But some other podcasts I listen to. There's one I think talking about Bond earlier. You should probably check out some guys called the Film Thugs, who are doing a retrospective of the Bond films at the moment. Oh, there's a lot of rants and bants, as they call it, in this show, but really good guys. I've known them for quite a few years now. And also, it's a show called Uncanny Valley, the Uncanny County, sorry. If you haven't caught it, really, really good. It's a second season just starting. Audio drama, very, very good. Highly recommended. And that's it for me. Thank you.
Cool. Kim?
I want to shout out you guys, like normal. And Phil, I'm happy to have you. Finally got to meet you, more or less. So thanks for that. Our Shatters, of course. There's Martin and Sarah's back and Night Raven. And, you know, we've had quite a few. The old shout box has been hopping today. So yes, thanks for coming along. So that's it for me. I'm GamerGirl27. That's Twitter. That's Xbox. That's Steam. And, well, that's pretty much enough for there. So how about you, Mark?
Yeah, I want to shout out everyone who joined in on the playdate last week. It was great fun. I want to shout out Josh for passing his driving test and for Phil for coming on tonight and being our fourth seat. And that's about it, really. What about you, Robin?
Yeah, I'd like to thank Phil for coming on. I wanted that you'd be on the podcast for a long time, so thanks for coming on and being exposed to ourselves. It is quite intimidating sometimes doing a live thing and being asked to talk live and read stuff out. So thank you very much for coming on. It was good. To Greg. Hi, Greg. Hope you're having a good time, you bum. want to shout out Adam Edwards Adamski from Midlife Gamer community. He is running the Birmingham Marathon tomorrow, so go for it, Adam. He is well fit for it. I seen him doing press ups to music to Roxanne every time they sang. Oh God, what were you like? That was a room in the Midlife Gamer party with about 100 people, 99% of the male, that about 20 of them decided to get up and do press ups to this music, and every time they said Roxanne, they'd done a press up. It was surreal, but he was there and tight, so he's ready for this marathon. He's going for the good time there, you know. But just go out and enjoy yourself. I know you will not be listening to this tomorrow, but I hope you enjoy your run. It's one of the best things you can do. It's very rewarding, and you go through so many different emotions coming over that line with elation. You may end up crying and sobbing. But yeah, enjoy your day. Enjoy that. And finally, a quick shout out to my son, Joshua. Joshua went for his driving test day before yesterday and passed it.
Yay!
So, he's enjoying that. So it's a completely new, different stage of his life now. Yeah. Having that freedom to go out in his wee car and drive himself into his wee part-time job or to the train station or to drive his dad home drunk. It never happens, but I now have the option for that to happen. So. Okay, so I'm at Bongo the Sane, Robin Tate. You get me on bongo.ocpod.com and you'll see me everywhere on Bongo the Sane. Please, if you see me playing a game, please just invite me in to a party or invite me to chat. And if I can, I will, and I usually do. So please do that. Thank you very, very much for listening. Thank you guys for coming on the show. We will see you this time next week. Have a great, wonderful, and safe gaming week, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.